It's wonderful to be together here. I know you folks have been together a long time. But for me, it's the first time with you, with all of you. It's good to see faces. I love seeing faces and not talking to a computer. I have to admit that. Not my favorite thing to do. So I want to tell you, start with a story that I read about a couple, Chris and Debbie Clark, who happened to be over in Liberia back after the Civil War had happened, and they saw a lot of orphans on the street, and they felt God tugging at their heart, maybe you should do something. So they mortgaged their house in the U.S., and they thought they could use some of that to maybe build an orphanage. A neighbor unexpectedly passed away and left him $100,000, so that helped. He went to some surplus sales and got some cots for $5 and some supplies, and they headed over to... So they went to Sierra Leone with 15 volunteers, and they started constructing a little orphanage. And I had pictures up for you, and I guess we're not going to see them either, although we could. Maybe it'll come on in a little bit. They're working on it. So rather than saying, we can't, which is the temptation for all of us, they looked at what they hadn't given, and they offered it to the Lord. And so then in 2018, that little beginning turned into a charity that has an annual budget of $9 million and works in several countries. It's one story among many. We all can think of examples, probably, of someone that saw a need and decided to move forward, giving what they had and trusting that God was going to provide what was needed, the rest. So in this series, we're considering what really matters. Some of you maybe haven't been with us on Zoom, so I'll just give you a short recap. Amid all the things we can spend our time on, what are the key things that enable us as God's people to fulfill His purposes? The first thing I suggest is we need real treasure. We need His treasure. We need that which motivates us. Something the world can't give and can't take away. Something we have guaranteed to us because our Lord Jesus Christ is seated in heaven, ruling. Second thing we need is His priorities. And remember, we looked at Acts 2:42, devotion. They were devoted when the Holy Spirit came upon them. What were they devoted to? The apostles' teaching, fellowship, that's being together. Breaking of bread and prayer were the four things they were committed to. Today we're going to look at His provision, how God provides what we need to do His work. So, Mark chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day. And you remember what happened. Jesus, the people had come to Him from all over, and they were in a remote place, and they had continued for a few days with Him. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd, and He was teaching them the Word of God. They were hungry to hear the truth about the kingdom. So His disciples came to Him. This is a remote place, they said. It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But He answered, you give them something to eat. They said to Him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? So the disciples, they saw a need, and that was good. And they come up with a solution. I don't think it was a bad idea. They had an idea how things should go. These folks should go and find food at the neighboring communities. But Jesus had a better idea. He said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. I can imagine their silence. They weren't thinking that. They were stunned. I think they did the math in their head, according to the text. Maybe they were, 8 months of a man's wage, they said. I figure it like at minimum wage now, that's like $14,000 to feed the crowd for one meal. And I'm sure they were looking at the bank account, however much they had in the bag, and going, this isn't going to work. How are we going to do this? And that's our normal way of thinking. We look at what we don't have. There's a gap, isn't there, between who we are and what God asks us to do and to be. So what do we do with that? Jesus asked them to take a look at what they did have. Verse 38, it continues, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. I had a picture of what they looked like. Their loaves of bread weren't like ours, they were little thing. Like maybe one person could eat that, and a couple of little fish. The fish were really small, okay? They're not like big salmon or anything. They're little fish. So I don't even think this would have fed the 12 apostles, and there were more disciples than that. You get the idea. But they had something. They had something, just like the Clarks had something to offer. Like the widow at Zarephath. She had enough to make a meal for Elijah in that jar, didn't she? And that's what God asked of her to do. What she had, that's all. God doesn't ask us to do, to give something we don't have. That's impossible. I was thinking also of the widow whose the debtors were going to take her children, and she came to Elisha, and Elisha asked her, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? The little bit of oil? They filled the jars, right? And they kept filling them. Anyway, Jesus then instructed them to get all the people ready for the meal. Verse 39 to 40. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups of on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. That's a lot of groups. That's between 50 and 100 groups. So you can imagine them going out, okay, over here, you guys come and sit together, and you. Well, what's going on? We're going to have dinner. You get the idea. See, they didn't know what was going to happen yet. They didn't know what was going to happen, and Jesus told them to go do this. Ah, interesting. They had to have faith. So here's what they did. This is what Jesus did. Verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. That means he took it in his hands. They were in his possession now, not theirs. And he looked up to heaven. Why did he look up to heaven? The source of every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down to us from the Father. That's what we read. And he gave thanks. That's the word blessed, okay? And that could mean that he was asking for blessing. But most of the time when we read that, almost all the time, it means to give a word of praise, to give a word of blessing. Probably something like, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth food from the earth, or something like that. He blessed God. And what does that do for us? It helps us remember where everything comes from. And he gave it to the disciples. He gave it back to them. Jesus had commanded, you give them something. And that's the source, isn't it, of all ministry, the grace of the Lord Jesus giving to us all that we need to serve him. It's not ourselves. It's not of ourselves. It comes from him. Next, we see the results, verse 42 to 44. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied. I think it tells us how abundant God's grace and provision is. It's abundant, and they had all this left over. Why? It's interesting. There's different ideas. We don't really know, but some would say, well, look at the apostles gave their lunch, and then they each got a big doggy bag left over or something like that. They got something back, and maybe that's why God did that. Maybe it's because 12 was symbolic of 12 tribes of Israel. It's a possibility, too. We're not sure. This is what we can be sure of, that with our God, there's more than enough. With our God, there's more than enough. How does this affect you and I? I can't say how God's truth will affect your decisions, your life, but there are general principles that I'll point out for you that I think we all should consider. The first is that God wants us to see needs, right? Just like the apostles, just like he did all the time. He looked and he saw the need. And that's good. Doesn't mean God wants you to take on every need. That leads to either burnout or making yourself the one that has the need, that, you know, making yourself poor. You know, some people think every need is theirs. I don't think that's what this means. But sometimes there's opportunity for you to do something, and we should think about that and pray about that. And we may have an idea. I might have a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Bring it to the Lord. He may have a better idea. Right? Bring it to God. There's no formula for discerning God's will. I'm not going to give you one. You have to work that out. You have to struggle with that and pray to know, what is your will, God? What is best? What is good? What is pleasing? I was thinking back of a time when I had the opportunity many years ago to speak to some country churches that didn't have pastors. It wasn't through Village Missions. I hadn't even gone to Bible college at that time. But I remember seeing the need and wondering if there's something I could do. I needed the question that Jesus asked, what do you have to give? And that's always, no matter whether it's big or small. We can give illustrations. I could talk about people like the Clarks who start some organization or something like that. But the reality is that we make those decisions in the small things, the little things. It starts wherever, whatever step we can take, whatever God gives us to do, that's where it begins. So the second question I think we need to ask ourselves, what do I see? Also, what do I have? What do I have that I can give? What might help in this situation? And God, like I said, God doesn't ask of us what we don't have. And when we look at what we have, it's never enough by itself. We always feel inadequate. At least I do, if I'm honest. In ourselves, we are inadequate. There's a big gap between who I am and what I'm called to be in Christ. And what I think is good to do and what I end up doing imperfectly, right? There's a big gap. We could, as a church, think about what we don't have. You could say, well, we don't have a big congregation, a big budget, a big building. We could say, we can't do that, whatever that is. We can't. Instead of feeling, he can. Right? He can. With God, there's more than enough. I think it's good for us to start with our inadequacy. The scriptures say in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, it's is pointless. They labor in vain. They labor. You can do a lot of labor and end up having it come to nothing. Right? Somebody could build an organization and attract a whole bunch of people and it come to nothing unless the Lord's involved in that labor. Unless He's supplying what's humanly impossible. That's why I think 1 Peter 4:11 says, Peter said, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. Right? Not my own ability, with the ability God supplies. So the feeling of inadequacy is good, but we have something to give. And like Elijah asked the widow for what she had. Jesus asked the apostles what they had. And with that invitation is an invitation to make it available, to trust Him. Isn't that what it's about? Trust Him. See, what's in your hands is not the same thing when it's in God's hands. It's something else. Because He can do what we can't. He can take your life. He can take whatever you have and break it and make it a blessing to countless people. So that's an act of faith. God wants us to have our eyes open wider, so we can see the need and see what we have, but also see what He has as our Savior. That's the part that I think God encourages us. What can He do? To think about that question. That's what Jesus was doing, and He was looking to heaven. Right? He was looking up the place from where the manna came. For 40 years, they got fed in the wilderness. Right? And from where He came, the bread of life, the living bread from heaven. He was looking in the right place. So we look up and see He is sovereign, and He is good, He is generous. And we know He can do what we can't. That's why we bring our praise. That's why we bring our petitions. And so we can be sure that He'll continue to provide. I'm going to read Philippians 4. When Paul was sent financial help from the Philippians, he said in verse 19, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." My God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? 2 Corinthians 9. Again, he was in the context of them sharing what they had. He said, God is able, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that in all things, at all times, you get the all in there, I love it. In all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What He's saying is that to the one who gives, it will be given. The one who scatters the seed, more seed will be given. God's purpose in this is not to make us rich, but rich in good works. It's pretty clear. He said, so that you'll abound in every good work, so He'll enlarge, God will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, so that you can be generous on every occasion, it says. He wants it to overflow. He wants it to be the channels of blessing. Reminds me of that song, "Channels Only, Blessed Savior, but by all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour." When Joy and I decided God was leading us to full-time ministry, our pastor encouraged me to get an MDiv, Master of Divinity, and I was really tempted to look at what we didn't have in that equation. We didn't have any money. We had 3 kids at that time. Okay. But that verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8, encouraged me so much that he's able to make all grace abound toward us. I was encouraged. We packed up our kids and we went. So for full time for 3 years, I did nothing but classwork, not earn a dime. And at the end of the time period, it was actually 4 years before we joined Village Missions, I'm sure there was just as much in the bank account as there was when we started. That's God, who gives all that is needed for whatever his work is. It wasn't coming from me. With our God, there's more than enough. There's another principle I think God wants us to remember in this text. Like the apostles, I think we have to take action. We have to take action. We have to move forward, like the apostles giving their lunch, and to actually go out and seat the crowd in groups, like the Clarks who actually had to go to Sierra Leone and take the stones and start putting them together, doing the work. Like Joy and I packed the van and moved 2,000 miles so I could go to school. We had to do it. And there's a lot of little things. You know, it's not the big stuff. Sometimes we think if God asks something big of me, you know, to be a missionary or something, then I'll do that. But it's not like that, is it? It's usually the small things. You know, maybe God's prompting me to share a verse of scripture that's on my heart that means a lot to me with someone else who's going through a trouble time. And it will help them. Or to actually sit and pray with somebody who's going through a tough time. Or to give a word of testimony or something. Maybe that's the step of faith that I need to take today. So I encourage you, this is up to you guys to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is at work in you to will and do for his good pleasure. I'm sure you know the text already. When it comes to the question, how much do we give, you know, and this principle we see in scriptures applies to everything, Paul was talking to the Corinthians about physical things. He was talking about the collection. They were gathering money to send to Judea for the needs of the believers there. That was the context that he was talking, but the principle applies to everything, who I am. And so when he told them to set aside something on the first day of the week, he used this term. He said, as he may prosper. Right? He's talking about the way, as much as God has blessed you, God, more is expected to him whom more is given. And in 2 Corinthians 8:11 to 14, he says, talks about completing what they started out of what you have. He says it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. God doesn't want anybody to give what they don't have. And he sure doesn't want you to make yourself poor in order to help someone else so that then you become a charity case. That's not the intention. He said in verse 14, your abundance at the present time should supply their need. That's the principle that I think applies. So God gives us the ability to serve him, regardless of whether it's giving money, whether it's giving time, whatever it is that you're giving. It's only what you got that you can give. So the questions are, what do I see? What do I have? What can he do? And what should I do? Now, it's interesting. I already mentioned Joy and I something about our life. We're going to, in two weeks from now, I want to finish this series, and then we're going to tell our life story kind of, so 2 weeks from today, and hopefully show some slides. Pray about that, please. Because without the pictures, right? I mean, but as I thought about this message, the story came to mind. I know that Gordon and Val will know it quite well, because when you joined Village Missions, they used to send you to Stonecroft headquarters in the United States for the candidate school, and talk about, and they'd give you a book to read about how Village Missions started. Basically, there were some girls, young women, that their family had come over from Ireland, and they were in, I think it was Washington, I don't know, it was on the West Coast anyway, and they saw some churches that were closed in some of the small towns. And they thought, well, we know how to sing and play instruments and talk about, read the scriptures and talk, so they said, let's put a sign up saying we're going to have a meeting. And they did, and in those days people would come because there wasn't anything else to do. They couldn't turn TV on maybe, so they'd come. And they would share the gospel. And then they got thinking, you know, these towns, they really need a pastor. So the one sister there, she asked her brother to start an organization that would send pastors. And that's how Village Missions started. And she went on to start the Stonecroft Ministry, which obviously has had quite a ministry there. So it's really quite simple, isn't it? We only give what we have, and God does the rest. We could say, what's the use? What's the use of the little that I have to offer? Doesn't it sometimes seem like that? It doesn't really count for anything. It won't help much to the one country church. It matters. To the one orphan that you feed, it matters. To the one who receives a Bible, maybe you give money to Bible League or something, and somebody in a faraway country gets that Bible. It matters to them, and it matters to our God. He can take what we give and multiply it in ways that we may never know. See, the Clarks didn't let the number of orphans they couldn't help keep them from building one orphanage. They did it. So God's servants always move forward, changing the needs, making what they have available to Him, and doing what He leads them to do. And we'll only do that if we're sure that God has more than enough. We need His treasure. We need His priorities. We need His provision. These are the things that really matter. And next week we're going to look at His gospel. It matters what we preach. Let me pray. God, we all confess that our faith in some ways is really lacking. We feel our inadequacy, and we forget who You are. We forget what You can do. We ask Your forgiveness. We ask You to encourage us, to strengthen us inwardly, to help us to see, as Jesus did, to look up and to see who You are and what You can do in the situation we find ourselves. No matter what the needs are, God, we make ourselves available to You today. We offer You the little that we are, little that we have, thanking You that ultimately it's all from You. It's all because of Your generosity and Your great love. And so we thank You, Lord, for the opportunities You bring our way. And Lord, continue to provide an abundance for every good work that You have. We look to You to do that. And we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.